It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. The excitement and anticipation has been growing for weeks. Now the time's almost here. That's right. Baseball's coming back next week, and there's no better place to get in on the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To put you in the center of the action, DraftKings Sportsbook celebrating the new season with a special promotion. Before the season starts, place a bet of at least $25 on who will be crowned the champion, and they'll give you a $25 free bet to use on opening day. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use KSN when you sign up. And for a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN to get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Ross Tucker. We're going to be doing Ask Ross, but first, Ross, we just got done listening to the first half of your chat with James Franklin. We'll do the second half next week. Real interesting stuff, and how about a great timing for you to talk to him right after the Big Ten's announcement.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, honestly, that was just kind of dumb luck. I had spoken with James a few weeks ago. He had offered to come on the show sometime. And so we scheduled it for a couple weeks later. And then, you know, the Big Ten comes out with the announcement. And I was kind of nervous, Jim, because when the Big Ten came out with the announcement, I thought, oh, Franklin's going to have a conference call or a press conference, or he's going to issue a statement or something. But it was only Sandy Barber who issued the statement. So I thought, oh man, I might get his first on the record comments about the conference only games. And I thought he made some good points about, you know, if there is like an outbreak of sorts, if it's conference only, they can kind of stop, start up again. It's kind of like all these professional leagues or the NFL or whatever. If everyone is on the same protocols and procedures, then you can pause things, start up again. Everyone has to have the same testing. Like, I don't know. If, you know, their first team is Kent State, right? Is Kent State
right
testing everybody when they come back? I maybe they are. Are they testing as frequently as Penn State? I guess I just don't know some of those things. And I also think, you know, just, and we've seen some of the comments from the commissioner of the Big Ten, Kevin Warren, as well as Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State. I mean, I think it's a very, very nerve-wracking time right now. I think we need the numbers to go in the opposite direction. And I also think, you know, on some level, Jim, I don't think the Ivy League or the Patriot League really did major college football any favors. Not that that's their mission or their job, but, you know, if you ask the commissioner, Kevin Warren, or you ask Sandy Barber, hey, the Ivy League's not playing or the Patriot League's not playing, why are you guys playing? It really is a tough question to answer. I mean, I think that if we're being honest, the primary reason is money. And I don't say that from any sort of greed perspective. It's because that's what keeps all these other student athletes having their scholarships and having their sports. I mean, the athletic department needs the money for the non-revenue sports. Plus, just think about like all the restaurants and hotels and stuff in State College. So the problem is, I just think that's a tough thing for an AD or the Big Ten commissioner, or whoever, to say, well, the reason why, you know, we're still going to try to play and the Ivy League didn't is because the money's just so significant. But it's really, I mean, it really seems like that's the case.
It is, Ross, and there's nothing wrong with that. And especially if you look at it at this angle, their revenue, if they didn't play in the fall, their revenue goes away, but their costs do not. they are still have the cost of paying their employees, the cost of scholarships of all of the student athletes. All of those costs remain. The difference is no revenue. And they've already had to bite the bullet. They lost the revenue from the NCAA basketball tournament. And I know we've got to get to Ask Ross, but my final thought on it is it's not just a case of, you know, adjusting the schedule or being able to take a week or two off. They could also gauge, hey, they could start the season a little bit earlier in September if things are conducive to that. Or they could hold things off. Again, it's that having the control of the whole conference, like you mentioned. So at first, I thought they made that decision too early. After I gave it some thought, I thought it was a brilliant decision. All right, let's get to Ask Ross. Let's start with Eric in Hanover. Speaking of your interview with James Franklin, he brings up your interview with Nellan Rucci. He said, your interview with Mr. Rucci was phenomenal. My question is, how important are legacy players in the recruiting process? He mentions that Hayden comes along and, to my knowledge, doesn't even get an offer, which could end up costing us with Nellan Rucci. I know you've talked about this before, Ross, but essentially he's asking, why didn't they offer Nellan Rucci, pursue him harder, because he was a quality player and it would have helped them get Nellan Rucci?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Jim, if I had a dollar for every time someone's asked me that, I mean, this is like the second or third time I feel like on this show I've been asked that. And certainly I get asked it all the time, you know, living in central Pennsylvania. I live in Harrisburg, but I'm very close with the Rucci family. And so people ask me about it all the time. And you just have to remember a couple things. One is that Hayden Rucci is really more of a blocking tight end. And so he's kind of a perfect fit for Wisconsin and what they want to do, which is why Wisconsin offered him a scholarship right away. I mean, Wisconsin plays with two and three tight ends out there sometimes, Jim, and they want him to be blockers first and receivers second. Whereas Penn State, if you look at the tight ends they've gotten over the recently, Gesicki and Freiermuth and Brenton Strange and Zach Kuntz, I mean, I think Freiermuth's the only one of them that I ever actually even saw in a three-point stance, Jim. I mean, they're all big wide receivers. Go back and watch Strange and Kuntz and Gesicki, all big wide receivers. Nick Bowers, Nick Bowers kind of became Penn State's number two tight end. He was a wide receiver at Katanning. So Hayden Rucci just kind of was a different player than Penn State was recruiting at the time and still really recruiting now. I mean, Theo Johnson, Tyler Warren, their two tight ends in this year's class are, one was a quarterback who sometimes played wide receiver. The other one was a wide receiver. I mean, neither one of those guys ever put their hand in the ground. So he just really wasn't a fit for what Penn State was looking for at tight end. I've said many, many times, I'm biased, right? Like I grew up a Penn State fan. I'm from Pennsylvania. I think that Penn State should, when in doubt, offer scholarships to the Pennsylvania kids if it's close, and certainly if it's close with a legacy kid like Hayden Rucci. But the flip side is true too. Like, what if he went there? What if they did offer him a scholarship and he went to Penn State, and because of Penn State's offense, he was fourth string and a bad fit? I don't know. Does his brother go to Penn State then? So it kind of goes both ways. You know, certainly that's what everybody's going to say if Nolan ends up going to Wisconsin to be with his brother. And I totally understand that. And that'll be a frustration for Penn State fans. But you just have to think of it logically and understand what the thought process was at the time.
I wonder if James Franklin had a do-over, if he would have changed. All right, let's go with Jay from Hockessin, Delaware. Hey, Ross, if no games are played this year, how difficult would it be for the guys to shake off the rust next year to play at the same high level in which they're accustomed to playing? He's an avid listener, he says, and loves the show.
You know, I really don't know the answer to that. My guess is, my hope is that, I mean, they'd at least have spring ball, hopefully, who knows, and then they'd have a full training camp. So I don't think it would be that difficult. I don't think it would be that much of an issue. They're young, they're resilient. you know, there's a lot of time between seasons as it is, and hopefully they would get the normal amount of practice time before that next season. So I don't really think that would be the issue. I think the issue in my mind, Jim, is if, you know, even this conference only thing in my mind really stinks, because I think Penn State's going to have a great team this year. And, you know, people will hear it in part two of my James Franklin interview next week. But I mentioned to him, I think people underappreciate what they've done the last 4 years. I mean, 3 11-win seasons, and the only one that wasn't was a 9-win season. I mean, in 4 years, we all talk about the good old days. I remember the Orange Bowl loss to Oklahoma, Fiesta Bowl win. Like, I remember the 94 season. But you look in the history of the program, it's about as good of a four-year stretch as they've had. And I think this year they'd be poised for another one, another 11-win season, maybe even more, Jim. So, I mean, they could have 4 out of 5 years be 11-plus wins. So that's what bothers me a lot about this is, you know, my alma mater, Princeton, is supposed to have a really good team this year, was at least. I don't know if they'll try to play in the spring or not. My high school team, certainly Penn State. You know, it's not good for any year for there to be changes or potentially no football, but especially not good when all my teams are supposed to be good, Jim.
It's funny you mentioned that. That thought struck me too with this Penn State team being very good. Now, here's another question I want to sneak in very quickly. Nick from Berwick, it's kind of related. With only playing an in-conference schedule, how hard do you think it would be if they do this to correctly rank the teams week to week with no one playing each other from the other conferences?
It's a great question, and I think the answer is really hard. I mean, how do you ever compare it? You only compare it based on, A, how they look, but B, what you see from these teams when they play out of conference, right? Like those crossover games, especially early in the year, you know, Penn State, Virginia Tech, Ohio State, Oregon, it's a great indicator of conference strength. While not every conference has said they'll be conference only at this point, you know, you're just not going to have a great crossover. And I guess, you know, if there's no bowls or no college football playoff, I guess it doesn't matter. But if you still have bowls and they still have a college football playoff, then it really does matter. And I think it probably, you know, like if the SEC or ACC or Big 12 play non-conference games, it probably gives them a leg up for college football playoff.
I think the conferences will all get in alignment and be playing only conference games, and this would be the excuse to expand the playoffs this year. All right, that's it for quarter number three. Stick around, quarter number four is coming up.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
Baseball is coming back next week. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.